Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you, Anthony. Proper vibes have been set. Mark Seagraves, 10 minutes from right now, NBC4. He broke the story that the Commanders are returning to RFK if a deal that is close can go from close to finalized. It is a $3+ billion deal. That is the what's in Mark's reporting. We will get all the details from him coming up in 10 minutes. We'll ring him for every detail that we can. Right now, that we take more of your calls, 301-230-0980. We got Jason back, Anthony? All good? Okay, Jason's in Laurel. Jason, hopefully your phone works this time around. Appreciate you calling back in here to the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. Love that you got to break this news. I really think everybody, pro and con for this, everybody needs to take a deep breath. And the first caller you took on this, he was very adamant. I don't know why they're doing this. I get that. But I think what people don't realize is we do not live in a democracy. We live in a representative republic. And there are far more people that want this than don't want this. The mayor wanted it. The team owners wanted it. I think the majority of the fans wanted it. I get there may be 7 to 12,000 people that live in that area that aren't crazy about it. I totally understand. But I do think, and you had another caller that, and this will affect property values. I think what they're deciding on doing is bringing more shops and retail, so it will help retail values of people's property and stuff. But you don't get to choose what businesses open next to yours. That's not the kind of country we live in. It's just not. We are a representative republic. And I think the majority of people want this. Me, I'm excited. I'm 51. The first game I ever went in that stadium, I was about 8 years old. And we were there 45 minutes before kickoff, and the stadium was shaking. And I looked down, and I'm looking at concrete, and the whole stadium is shaking. It was cool and scary all at the same time. I'm very, very excited, and I can't wait to see JD5 back in D.C. And I'll listen to your comments. Thank you, Craig.
Yeah, Jason, I appreciate it. And, it's not every day we can talk about differences between democracies and representative republics. Those two things can intertwine just fine. But I think the point is, like, on a lot of these conversations when it comes to freedoms and rights, like, there's an area of all of our lives where our rights and freedoms exist solely within things that affect us, and where we have to work together is where they intersect. So if I'm a business owner, I don't get to choose who opens next to me, to a point. But in a city that's not like Houston famously has no zoning laws, and the idea that you could have a strip club next to an elementary school is actually a thing I think that really exists somewhere in Houston. But most cities have zoning laws to say, like, oh, okay, we can't pick explicitly who, but there are certain kinds of businesses that will concentrate to certain areas, or, hey, restaurants can or can't open here, bars can or can't open here, because we're within X of a school and the traffic pattern, whatever that stuff goes into. So there are areas, obviously, where you have some say, but by the same token, like, you don't get to pick your neighbor. you know, that's just not how that works. It's unless they have some kind of limitation on where they can live based off their previous criminal activity. And then maybe you, by the way the laws are written, you've already picked your neighbor. So there are things like that where I think we could get into a lot of nitty-gritty detail that's, I think, far too nitty-gritty for certainly this show and certainly right now without the level of detail that we have. Because I do think some of the devil will be in the details here. What is this multi-purpose use? What kind of transportation funding is there? Because I'll tell you right now, the 8 days a year of traffic going to a game or 10 or whatever, 12 hopefully, that you have in terms of game day traffic. Oh, we want more affordable housing. So you want thousands of new people there every single day? What do you think that's going to do to traffic? So like some of the arguments, once you start to flesh them out, become very nuanced, very detailed, and I'm not going to pretend like I have the expertise. But I do think by and large, majority of people that care about this team and this stadium, and certainly that's our audience, I realize that there's a lot more people living in D.C. than that, care. But I care more what the natives think than the transients. And I say that as someone who did move here, but considers myself to the extent, like, I'll put it this way. To say I'm a native is belying of the term native. But D.C. is my home. I intend on being here as long as I possibly can. The only reason I can imagine myself moving is someone in another market somewhere or on a national whatever platform pays me a lot of money to be like, we need you to be here. And I'd be like, okay, well, at that point, I hope I can go back to D.C. one day. Or can I pull a Van Pelt at some point 20 years from now and be like, yeah, I want to go back there because this is home for me now. And so the transient folks that move in and out of here willy-nilly, like, I don't really care. All due respect, I don't care what you think about this. And that's kind of also, by the way, whatever it's politics alert. That's what I think about your opinions on this city in general. Like, leave us alone. We're adults. We're pretty smart. We can handle it ourselves. We'll take more calls as we go throughout the show. But next, we'll get the details from Mark Seagraves of NBC4, who broke this story. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. And we are reacting all show long to breaking news that was broken by our next guest. Mark Seagraves is a reporter for NBC4, and he threw our show for quite a loop about, I don't know, Mark, you gave me about 22 seconds before we got on the air today. Thanks for that, buddy.
Yeah, happy to help out. There's nothing like live radio.
Nothing like live radio, nothing like live TV. So let's start back at the beginning here for folks that are just tuning in. The Commanders look to be close to returning to RFK. That is your reporting. I will let you fill in what you think are the most relevant details from here, kind of how we learned this, what the money is, and what kind of detail we know about what this project is going to look like so far.
Yeah, sure. So this is... Look, if you want the team to come back to D.C., this is great news. This is as close as the two parties have ever been, and it shows that they're working and moving forward. It's important to note it's not a done deal, so these things could change. But there is a framework, and we have NBC Washington obtained a copy of a document that shows a framework in place of a more than $3 billion deal that would have the team putting up to $2.5 billion, and the city putting in up to $850 million toward this project, with a deadline of having the stadium completed in time for the 2030 season kickoff. Now, we know Josh Harris has wanted a stadium to open by that time, so it fits in with his timeline. Again, a source familiar with these negotiations told me nothing is set in stone right now, and that $2.5 billion number could come down a little bit when we finally get to a final deal inked at the bottom line. But this is kind of the framework that we're seeing right now. It also shows, the documents show, that the team would not just build the stadium there, but that they would be the master developer for the entire 180-acre campus along the Anacostia River. And we know that Josh Harris just hired a former executive vice president from JGB Smith Development, who was critical in the development of the Amazon 2 headquarters development in Virginia. So this is just the kind of project that guy works on. They would develop the retail and residential and green space components of that along the river there, as well as the stadium and parking facilities. And again, important to note, the D.C. taxpayer money that would go into this, up to $850 million, would be used almost primarily for infrastructure, like the parking structures and roads and things that the city would have to pay for regardless of if a stadium went there or not. Any development that would go there would need massive infrastructure improvements that the district would have to pay for. So that's kind of the overview of the deal that is being worked out right now. But what it really shows is that these two sides are working, moving forward, and have the framework for a deal that needs to get done because of the budget cycles and whatnot within the next month or two.
Mark Seagraves, NBC4, with us. So let's double-click on a few things there, Mark. First, when we say it's close, things could still happen to prevent this. How do we define close here, and what are the final I's to be dotted, T's to be crossed?
Sure. So I'll use as many sports metaphors as I can beat
yes!
to death.
But I feel like news reporters, when they come on our shows, live for these moments. Like, if you're a sports fan, you're just like, finally, someone who's going to get the thing that I've wanted to say all along.
That's right. I avoid cliches like the plague. Look, we're definitely in the red zone, right? We are very, very close. It doesn't seem like anybody else is, you know, Maryland's not even in the, doesn't seem to even be in the conversation. It seems like these two sides are locked in, and Mayor Bowser and Josh Harris, who you saw in that picture in the Oval Office with former President Biden when he signed the deal that transferred the land to the city, they have become good partners and good working partners, and they clearly have a good relationship. So that's a good thing. There are definitely some hurdles ahead. First, the district is facing a more than $400 billion in budget cuts over the next 6 months that have been imposed by Congress that the district shouldn't have been responsible for, wasn't planning for. And the mayor has said these cuts could be devastating and will impact public safety and transportation, and there are going to be layoffs and cuts in services. So they have to get through that first, and that will be resolved probably in the next 30 to 45 days. Once they get that done, the mayor can submit her 2026 budget. Now, the mayor said publicly earlier this week that the 2026 budget was completed and ready to transmit to council. That was what triggered me, because I knew, we all knew, that if there was a deal with the team, it was going to have to be in the 2026 budget, because it would need to be approved by council in time to start construction to meet the 2030 deadline, right? And so they would have to get the 2026 budget approved by council and then Congress. There's another big hurdle ahead, and it has to do with zoning. There is a group of residents who have started a petition drive to get an initiative on the ballot that, if it was approved by D.C. voters, would restrict what could be built on the RFK campus to simply residential and would block a stadium from being there. So that's another hurdle that's in the way. So there are those three legislative hurdles, if you will, ahead of them. But the biggest hurdle the mayor is going to face is selling to the public and the 13 members of the D.C. Council the idea of putting up hundreds of millions of dollars to help build a stadium at a time when they're making what the mayor has described as devastating cuts to things like public safety, transportation, safety nets, all of that kind of stuff in the face of this budget crisis. So the optics, the timing could not be worse for the mayor, but, you know, she's forging ahead. And if you look at this and you compare it to stadium deals around the country, if you're pro stadium, right, if you think a stadium is a good investment for any jurisdiction and you want this team to come back, and you compare this deal to other stadium deals around the country, it's hard to find a deal that where you have an owner putting up so much money compared to what the jurisdiction is putting up. And a lot of that is because you know, the land is free. DC got the land from the federal government. Nobody's having to buy the land. So that makes it easier to kind of make this lucrative deal. But if you're pro stadium, pro bringing the team back, then I think you have to look at this deal as a pretty good deal.
So, and did I hear you say correctly too, that the public money is going to go towards things that they probably would have spent on anyway in that area, no matter what, like whether it's housing, whether it's whatever else could be put on that land, updates to the roads, et cetera,
right.
That's going to be So at that point, I guess that's probably going to be their political argument to the public.
Yeah, you got it. That's exactly right. That's what they're going to say. And that's what a lot of council members have said in the past. They're okay with spending money on infrastructure, but not on the actual stadium. And I think that's the kind of the line, the demarcation that the mayor is going to try to walk. And again, like parking structures that are going to have to be put in there, they'll certainly serve the stadium, right? The stadium and the NFL requires a certain amount of parking for stadiums, right? And so that will be seen as part of the stadium, but those parking structures will serve the entire complex, not just the stadium. So that will be the argument that they make along those infrastructure improvements and investments.
Mark Seagraves, NBC4, with us. So we spent actually quite a bit of time, thanks to the fact that this is what our first call that we took on this was about, Mark, talking about the neighborhood pushback. How real is that? And then what kind of, like, what are we talking about functionally there? Is this something that could be on a citywide ballot? Is this something that is going to be voted on by our elected representatives in the city council? What kind of pushback is coming from the neighborhood, and what kind of arguments or what are the mechanisms to resolve that?
Right. All of the above is your quick answer. So the mayor held a town hall meeting at Eastern High School, which is in the shadow of RFK Stadium there on East Capitol, on right at the stadium there. And it was packed with residents, neighbors, people who live right around the state, hundreds of them packed into this high school auditorium to hear the mayor's presentation and ask her questions. And I got to say, I went to that really expecting to see kind of the, you know, the discontent and firebrand that we're seeing, like, congressional representatives getting across the country, right, these days. But in fact, the vast majority of people who were in that room, the residents, seemed open to a stadium and did not, you know, there were some who were like, hey, we'd rather have a grocery store. You know, there are other things we need in this neighborhood before we need a stadium. But there was an immense pushback. But there will be some pushback from residents who live around there who have kind of enjoyed, you know, for the past many years, not having that traffic flowing in there every Sunday morning and out every Sunday night when there's a game. The ballot initiative that is being proposed and worked on is being done by some people who have had great success. Look, in D.C., ballot initiatives have been very successful in getting cannabis legalized or decriminalized, in getting the minimum wage for tipped employees raised. So we have seen legislation by the public through voter initiatives be successful in the past here in D.C. So what would happen is they'll have to get a certain number of signatures to get it on the ballot. They'll probably be able to do that because, again, the people organizing this have done this before. They know how to get those signatures. So you put it on the ballot. Then if more than 50% of the voters approve the ballot initiative, it would become law, and the zoning could block the stadium. Now, the D.C. Council has the authority to overturn the will of the public and voter initiatives if they so desire, and they have in the past. And so my guess is if there's enough support on the council to fund the stadium and the district residents vote against it anyway in the voter initiative, that the council would probably overturn that voter initiative and just incur the wrath of those voters who are upset that, you know, they're going against the will of the voters. And then the other vote the D.C. Council has will be on the budget itself and the financing of this. And then, you know, you'll definitely have some back and forth there, as you always do with legislators when they're, you know, making the sausage. And so we'll have to see how that comes out. But again, in normal budget times, I believe the mayor has enough support to pass this, depending on what it looks like. The question is, will there be enough support from the council during this budget crisis that has been imposed on them by council? I can say, look, if the Congress comes back in a couple of weeks and undoes the $400 million cut to the D.C. budget, as President Trump has instructed them to do, and the Senate has already done, then that's like a gift to the mayor and would make this a whole lot easier. But right now, that is uncertain at best. And so they're moving forward with those cuts. So if the mayor can convince enough council members to make this kind of investment at a time when they're cutting services and jobs, they'll get it done. And I can tell you the mayor is going to put everything she has behind this.
Mark Seagraves, NBC4. And Mark, I hate to do this on the air, but are we good for like another 5 minutes here? I don't want to mess up your next live hit.
Yeah, I can go up to 5:30 with you.
Okay, great. So I got two other main questions, and then hopefully we'll give you back a few minutes of your time. Don't you love when people say that in corporate meetings? It's like, oh, thanks. Really appreciate that. The actual facility here, multi-use is the word we're going to hear a lot. And then they're gonna have to figure out what kind of stadium this is, whether this is a dome, whether it's a retractable roof, 50,000, 100,000. What kind of details do we have on the facility type and what kind of stadium, if we have any of those details at this time?
We don't have any of those details at this time
okay,
right
that's
now.
Easy. So,
none of that is included in there. But I can tell you that when the mayor talks about it, when the team talks about it, everybody talks about a dome. They want a year-round stadium. They want to attract Super Bowl. They want to attract Final Fours. They want to attract World Cup. They want to have a place that, as you said, can be used year-round, not just, a few weeks out of the year. That's the big, thing about football stadiums is, it's not like downtown where you have hockey and basketball in Capital One Arena, 100 nights a year, however many home games they play a year. Here with football, as you know, it's far fewer games. So they're going to want a facility that can be used year-round and get the maximum potential out of it and attract. We were very close to getting the Olympics a few years ago, and a lot of people think the thing that kept us away was, we didn't have a big stadium. We didn't have a dome stadium. We didn't have a great place like that. So that's probably what you're going to see, but I think we're ways off from that.
Yeah, of course, didn't get the Olympics. Also got skipped over for the Men's World Cup in 2026. But Women's World Cup coming in 2031, so that could be one of the major events. It'd be cool to have the final here. I'm just putting that out in the world. Last thing for you, Mark, the timeline here. You mentioned the city council parts of this, the congressional element. What are we watching for next as we follow this story?
I would expect to see the mayor, particularly since our reporting now, and it's out there, and I have to say this, our reporting probably couldn't come at a worse time for the mayor, just because I think she was hoping she would have this $400 million budget cuts resolved and behind her and then announce this. But she has to present the 2026 budget to the council soon. I mean, she's already late. It's already overdue. So, within a month or not much more, she's going to have to present that 2026 budget to the council, and in that budget will be the stadium deal and the financing for it. And so I would expect to see the mayor making some type of an official announcement as soon as, the next week or two. She doesn't have any public schedule this week. So far, she hasn't put out a public statement on my reporting, but I would suspect that next week at whatever ribbon cutting or groundbreaking she appears at next week, she'll be facing a lot of questions about this, and I would suspect, again, certainly within a couple of weeks, less than a month, you'll see some type of official announcement, because it will have to come out before the budget comes out.
Mark Seagraves, NBC4 reporter, ruckus maker, with us here on The Hoffman Show. Mark, excellent reporting on this. Thanks for spending some time with us on what must be a ridiculously busy day. We really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. I really appreciate you having me. My first love has always been live radio, so it's great to be on the air with you guys.
We'll definitely be in touch to have you back. Mark, appreciate it. Thank you. That's Mark Seagraves, everybody. You can catch him tonight, probably here in a few minutes, on NBC4, live at 5:30 and 6, and I'm sure he'll be on the 11 tonight as well. We appreciate his time here on the radio. Fantastic reporting. Now that you've got more insight and details, we get back to your calls. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. More of you on this. The Commanders close to returning to RFK next on the Team 980.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
301-230-0980 is the phone number here on The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Thanks again to Mark C. Graves, who just joined us with the latest on the RFK story. Commanders very close to finalizing a deal to RFK Stadium. I really enjoyed having Mark on, Anthony, and part because he was funny. Had a couple good one-liners there. He said he's going to avoid cliches like the plague. That's good. I kind of can't believe that I haven't used that one before.
Yeah, he said radio was his first love.
You know what that said to me? I didn't want to say this to him on the air, but that said to me that, sir, when you are when you have an off day from television and this story is getting done, that you're going to come sit down here in this here studio and we're going to talk about this.
That's what it sounded like.
That's what it sounded like to me. See, we're going to see how much you love radio. How much you willing to do an hour? Can I pepper you with questions for an hour? Can we have a little talky talk discussion? see if you like that. But no, I think TV reporters love coming on the radio because on TV everything is and then blah 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 back to you. Blah 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 blah. And now the radio is like space to explain. I just did all of this reporting and you want me to say it in 35 seconds? And I'm like, no. How about 25 minutes? So really appreciate Mark, though, for giving us the time literally in between live hits today here on the show. So in summary, the Commanders have the framework of a deal in place with the District of Columbia, with the mayor's office, and there's a lot of things that could influence this. But they have the framework of a deal in place that would give them or would land them back into RFK Stadium. They would build the stadium and a lot of the stuff around the stadium. What they wouldn't build is infrastructure. So big fancy word that basically means roads, bridges, potentially metro, all of the ways that you get around the supporting pieces of a multi-use facility. And the Commanders would be in charge of the design of, hey, we're going to put some housing here. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And this, the stadium would be the centerpiece. And it's funny because maybe funny is not the right word, but turn of phrase. It's funny because I think the idea of like Josh Harris and the people he'll hire to be in charge of that, like who do you trust more, the city government or Josh Harris to hire a good designer? I think most people would probably pick Josh Harris. His history of hiring people is really good. Adam Peters, sweet. Hey, we need to design a football team. Adam Peters. Hey, we need to build a culture from the ground up. Dan Quinn. Sick. Good job. Nick Nurse, one of the best coaches in the NBA. I know the Sixers had a poop year this year, but Nick Nurse is really good. Daryl Morey, he hired. Like, this dude gets good people who have had track records of success. If Josh Harris is going to have to hire a designer, I'm fine with it. And it's the reason that's funny is because if it was Dan Snyder, we'd all be like, no! Again, it's not necessarily what they do, it's how they do it. That is the biggest difference between those two men. Of course, the what they do is also fairly significant. That said, there are still hurdles. There are... The neighborhood thing is funny to me because it is a very, very loud group of people who do not want this to happen. And that noise makes it very difficult to really suss out, are they loud because there's a lot of them or are they loud because they're loud? But they will have their say by protesting, by potentially voting on a ballot initiative, by pushing their council member to vote a certain way. But ultimately, if this is a citywide decision, they could get overruled either by their fellow citizens or it sounds like by the city council, who I think thinks this is ultimately going to be a good thing. Because again, at some point, you're choosing between not having the team and having the team. And there is nowhere else in the district where this could happen. It's this site or no site. There is nowhere else. There was talk at some point of doing it down here and doing something around like the Anacostia side of things. Or do you do something, down in this Buzzard Point area? And now all of a sudden you'd have Audi and whatever new stadium for the Commanders within blocks of each other. Like that's just not going to happen. And so it really is in a city that is very limited in land area, RFK site or bust, and you can put the stadium where the stadium used to be. And people understand that have been there for a long time how that works and how that goes. And, you know, I go back to, for me, where I land on kind of all of this is where or what Warren, our caller, said in the first hour of the show, where he said, back in the day, we didn't care as people who lived by that stadium that a lot of people were coming to our neighborhood on Sunday and that there was traffic or whatever, because the Washington at the time, different name, but the Commanders, as it will be now, are part of our culture. And I do think while there's a government logistics that we discussed in the first hour and that Mark mentioned with the current state of the House of Representatives and them wanting to gut the DC budget, this could not come at a worse time governmentally for Mayor Bowser. Forget that she is a Democrat in a Democratic city. Just for pure this issue, if the election had gone presidentially and certainly even just in the House, gone differently in November, this is a lot easier to get through, which is interesting because for years it was a lot easier to get through. Like there were a lot of Republicans working on this bill on the RFK side of it. And Dan Snyder, that's where his friends on that were on that side of the aisle. And it was much more personal than anything super political. But now, as it's become a major piece of what Mayor Bowser wants to do, and I think there's more push for DC within Democratic circles, DC to have control over itself, and it's clear that a lot of people in DC want this to happen, then it's gotten now push from odd bedfellows on both sides of the political aisle. But it has become hard because of the seeming vengeance that a lot of House Republicans have for the district for whatever political reasons they want to throw out there and say. But the fact that President Trump has gotten on board and the Senate has already fixed this hole in the budget bill, but that President Trump has said, hey, we should fix this, get this $400 million passed, is I think, a good sign for that getting done. He seems to have... get whatever he wants in the House of Representatives these days. And in this case, that should be a good thing for this stadium. What it says about the larger checks and balances of American society is a different show on a different station. But for this that might just work out in the Commander's favor. But while that's the political wins, it is worth mentioning this couldn't be happening at a better time from a football standpoint. There has not been more excitement in this city about the football team than there has in a decade. And that also, in its own way, is political, right? If we substitute political for, like, popular, how does this affect the politics? How does this affect the popularity, the story that can be told? Doing this for Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn and Terry McLaurin is way different than doing this for the parade of boobs that was running this franchise beforehand and the absolute clown show that was the Snyder Bruce Allen era, who was trying to get this done for years. And that was Bruce will get it done. He knows the politicians, then he's well connected. Nope. Josh Harris has been here for 5 minutes and he got it done because he's good and competent at his job. And Mitch Rales is good and competent. And Magic Johnson is good and competent. And they have real political connections with real political capital. And it's a lot easier to sell it to them and to the public when you can be like, hello, this is our product. Have you met Jaden Daniels? And so from the political side, if you will, that is connected to the football, while the Washington wins, if you will, are blowing in the face of Mayor Bowser, she has a tremendous wind at her back from the actual football team on and off the field. And that's why I ultimately think this will get done, is because the more the Commanders win, the easier it is for her to make the argument in spite of whatever else is happening in the world, because this is ultimately a legacy project for her and she will use political capital to get this done because it is a signature achievement of her mayorship if she does. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We can take some calls on this next at 301-230-0980. That is how we'll round out the hour here on the Hoffman Show.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 6 o'clock, we're going to take a quick respite from the RFK news of the day. Neil Ivey is the head coach of Notre Dame's women's basketball. Of course, Sonia Citron is one of the Mystics draft picks. In fact, she was the top Mystics draft pick. She was number 3 overall. And I was able to catch up with Coach Ivey, who's just an electric, electric person. Was able to catch up with her a little bit earlier today. We're going to air that for you at 6 o'clock and then get right back to the RFK news starting at 6:15. Through the rest of the show. So, Neil Ivey, head coach, women's basketball at Notre Dame. Coach Sonia Citron, I can tell you, she said that Sonia, like, changed her life. And you can tell, we were talking a little bit before we started taping, just she literally goes, I'll do anything for Sonia. So, like, doing the interview was nothing for her because she, in her mind, she's doing it for Sonia. And it just seems like the Mystics got 3 really, really special people and players as well in this draft. So, we'll let you hear our chat with Neil Ivey coming up at 6 o'clock. Right now, though, Mark Seagraves joined us a little bit earlier in the show, earlier this hour, talking about the news that RFK Stadium is going to be the home of the Commanders once again. At least that's what we're close to, and that is Mark's reporting. We're close. So how close is close? Here with Seagraves.
Yeah, sure. So this is, look, if you want the team to come back to D.C., this is great news. This is as close as the two parties have ever been. And it shows that they're working and moving forward. It's important to note it's not a done deal. So these things could change. But there is a framework, and we have NBC Washington obtained a copy of a document that shows a framework in place of a more than $3 billion deal that would have the team putting up to $2.5 billion and the city putting in up to $850 million toward this project, with a deadline of having the stadium completed in time for the 2030 season kickoff. Now, we know Josh Harris has wanted a stadium to open by that time, so it fits in with his timeline. Again, a source familiar with these negotiations told me nothing is set in stone right now, and that $2.5 billion number could come down a little bit when we finally get to a final deal inked at the bottom line. But this is kind of the framework that we're seeing right now. It also shows, the documents show, that the team would not just build the stadium there, but that they would be the master developer for the entire 180-acre campus along the Anacostia River. And we know that Josh Harris just hired a former executive vice president from JGB Smith Development, who was critical in the development of the Amazon 2 headquarters development in Virginia. So this is just the kind of project that guy works on. They would develop the retail and residential and green space components of that along the river there, as well as the stadium and parking facilities. And again, important to note, the D.C. taxpayer money that would go into this, up to $850 million, would be used almost primarily for infrastructure, like the parking structures and roads and things that the city would have to pay for regardless of if a stadium went there or not. Any development that would go there would need massive infrastructure improvements that the district would have to pay for. So that's kind of the overview of the deal. that is being worked out right now. But what it really shows is that these two sides are working, moving forward, and have a framework for a deal that needs to get done because of the budget cycles and whatnot within the next month or two.
So that is the kind of state of play where we are. But then there's the question of what are we actually working on here? What is a multi-use facility? What kind of stadium do we have? And, well, we don't know the details yet. We do know some of what is being worked on.
We don't have any of those details at this time
right
now.
So
none of that is included in there. But I can tell you that when the mayor talks about it, when the team talks about it, everybody talks about a dome. They want a year-round stadium. They want to attract a Super Bowl. They want to attract Final Fours. They want to attract World Cup. They want to have a place that, as you said, you know, can be used year-round, not just, you know, a few weeks out of the year. That's the big, you know, thing about football stadiums is, you know, it's not like downtown where you have hockey and basketball in Capital One Arena, you know, 100 nights a year, however many home games they play a year. Here with football, as you know, it's far fewer games. So they're going to want a facility that can be used year-round and get the maximum potential out of it and attract. You know, we were very close to getting the Olympics a few years ago, and a lot of people think the thing that kept us away was, you know, we didn't have a big stadium. You know, we didn't have a dome stadium. We didn't have a great place like that. So that's probably what you're going to see, but I think we're ways off from that.
So that, is to me, is the most likely scenario here, is you get a multi-purpose, multi-use deal that is centered around a stadium that is going to be used many, many nights a year. We're talking concerts. We're talking soccer games, like big international type soccer games. You know, when the All Blacks, the New Zealand rugby team, comes and plays, like that could be a thing. But also international tournaments of a variety of kinds. You could see in soccer, there's a Club World Cup that's coming where the biggest clubs in the world are all going to play. I could see that being hosted in the U.S. and D.C. hosting. Obviously, Commanders games, Super Bowl, or multiple over the course of years if it goes well. You know, places to put people who are in town for those events. So some kind of hotel situation. You're also going to talk about upgrades to the roads, upgrades to the metro, upgrades to a lot of different stuff. This is a massive, massive project. And getting it right, the details are going to matter. And those are the things that will be hashed out behind closed doors in some cases, or in big, giant, open, you know, public meetings over the next couple of years. But ultimately, by 2026, like, the construction needs to start. They need to get this going, because otherwise it just keeps getting pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. And they're going to have to keep putting more and more money into FedEx to make it workable in the meantime, when they much rather be investing in the new stadium and doing the bare minimum to have a good experience at FedEx, while also not making it, you know, feeling like they're throwing money away on something that is going to be torn down probably in a couple of years. And hopefully, you know, the community in Landover that really got screwed over by Dan Snyder can then get their own multi-purpose, you know, type of facility. And whether it's green spaces, which I think will also be a part of this RFK site — it's a massive site, 180 acres is a ton of space. So green spaces, restaurants, shops, whatever it is that they want in Landover that the Commanders have committed to the state of Maryland and to PG County to develop, that they can ultimately get started on their project as well. And this can be a win for both the D and the M. And folks from Virginia, y'all can come to games too. Stop and Show, we're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We'll get back to more of what Mark Seagraves had to say and more of your reaction in the 6 o'clock hour. But next, the head coach of Notre Dame women's basketball and the coach of Sonia Citron at Notre Dame, Neil Ivey, joins us to talk about the Mystics' newest draftee here on your home for Mystics basketball, the Team 980.